bear with me for a moment. I'm gonna draw something up on this whiteboard. Hopefully my drawing makes sense. .353 is the closing hymn again, in case anybody needed that. Hopefully you guys can see this is a one-way road. And so today we're going to talk about God's plan. And it's important for us to recognize the warning signs and really the billboards that as we're going through this life's journey on this one-way road, the billboards that God has given us with what he's expecting in his plan. And, you know, before we get into that, I just want to just talk about just personally in my life some of the things that I think about a lot consistently, and that's like a workout plan. You know, when I think about like a workout plan, the key to it is the consistency. And the consistency with the workouts and the diets and everything that is involved around it. You know, for those who are new to a workout plan, what ends up happening is that they'll do it for a little bit and then stop. Or they'll make up their own sort of plan that just doesn't function. They'll do the workouts, but it's not doing it right. It's doing it in the way that they think is right. You know, the key to understand with God's plan, it's not what I feel is right. It's not what I think it should be. It's what does God tell us it should be. And just like someone who is on a workout plan or someone who's been doing it for years, you could have been doing it wrong for years. You know, I go back to my baseball days and a coach that I had, he said something that I didn't hear, and I hear often now, is that it's not about practicing and how much you're practicing. It's about practicing right. Because if you practice wrong, you end up playing wrong. And the key for us is as we're thinking of God's plan, that we're involved in it correctly. And that his plan is our driving force and factor in our lives. And as we go through, I'm going to put up these billboards, and I know it's going to be kind of hard to see in the back, but I'll definitely make sure to make a point of each and every one of them. And today we have 8 billboards that I want us to talk through as we think about God's plan. And so the first billboard is he has a plan for you and I, or just in general. Turn it with me to Jeremiah chapter 29. If we look at what's happening here, so we know Jeremiah is talking to the exiles. And, you know, the exiles are wondering, what's going to happen to us? And we have to remember that they're in this situation because of their disobedience to God's plan. But Jeremiah here has a message to them. And the message is that there's a plan that God has. Look at Jeremiah starting in chapter 29, starting in verse 10. It says, "For thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from where I sent you into exile." So God has a plan for you and I. But you see here God's plan. What's God's plan for the exiles? It's salvation. It's returning them back to the place that they once were. And that is in the right hand, on the right side of God. Well, the same thing with you and I. You know, we could have calamity in our life. We may have calamity in our lives forever, for all of it. But there's still a plan that God has for you and I. And that plan is to get us home with Him through His saving grace. And the same message to the exile here is the same message for us. And on top of that plan, when we think about it, God's plan is for us not to perish. So He has a plan for you and I, and then He has a plan for us not to perish. Let's turn over with me to 2 Peter 3:9. Actually, we'll just go to verse 8, since that's the break of the section. 2 Peter 3, starting verse 8. But do not let this one fact escape your notice. Beloved, that the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, for not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come, like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away, with the roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to His promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. So you see, we're still here. And we don't know when this "we still here" is going to come to an end. But what we do know is God doesn't want anybody that He's created to perish. His hope is that everyone comes to the conclusion that His way is the only way, and that righteousness is the way to live. And, you know, Peter here says it all. He said, what people ought we to be? How should we act in this life? How should we live and how should we behave? Peter is telling us we should live and behave according to God's plan, His righteousness, because that's the way each and every one of us should be living. Also in context is 1 Timothy 2, verse 4. First Timothy 2, verse 4. It says, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth? God's plan is for us that desires for us to be saved and to know the truth. He doesn't want anybody to perish. He does not want you and I to perish. But what He does want us to do is to understand the truth. Understand knowledge, and to use that to live according to this one-way road that God has given us to follow in this life. But God's plan also does another thing for us. It shows us the way. So God's plan, He has a plan for us. He does not want us to perish. And He shows us the way. Turn with me to Psalm 32. Starting in verse 5. It says, I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with the songs of deliverance. Then it goes, verse 8 is key. I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be as the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, whose trappings include bit and bridle to hold them in check. Otherwise, they will not come near to you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, loving kindness shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous one, and shout for joy, all you who are upright in your heart. Verse 8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. God has taught, has given us the way and his instructions through his word. You know, when you think about a horse here, you put a horse in an open field, especially one that's wild, it's going to run. It's going to go everywhere. Even one you've tamed. You get on the back of a horse without a bit in his mouth, it doesn't know where to go. You have to hold it down and pull it or push it in a way that it's supposed to know, I need to go this way. For us, God's word shouldn't be one that we just wait for it to tug on us, wait for it to show us the way to go. We should be looking for it. We should be understanding it. We should be growing our mind and our thoughts in the way that God would want us to go, and he's provided that for us. We have the ability to learn it. There's no excuse. There's nothing more that we have to do except open the Word of God, pray the Word of God, teach each other the Word of God. And once you've done that, you now know the way in which God wants you to go in his plan. And there's also an expectation in this plan. That you are to walk in them. So walk in his plan. And so he has a plan for us. He does not want us to perish. He's going to show us the way. And he wants us to walk in that way. Go to Ephesians 2. Look at verse 7. It says, so that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. God has given us, before the foundation of this world, the way in which he wants us to go, and it's our responsibility to walk in that way. You know, this right here is a one-way road. You can only go one way. God's plan is one way. Yeah, there's no deviation to this. And God has given us his plan. He's shown us what he wants us to do. Now we must act upon it. We actually must start taking the steps in God's plan. Because if we don't, then we're doing something outside of it. And it's only his plan that leads to that everlasting salvation that we first talked about in this message. And I go back to the workout for those that are working out for the first time. A lot of times what you do is you research plans. You research people who have done it. You look to those who have made it in this industry, and you say, okay, let me follow what this person has done. And, you know, I recall when I first started working out as a teenager, that I would download these plans, and I would read all these diets that these people were using, and I would use that as my guide because they know what they're doing. If I saw someone who said they knew what they were doing and I didn't see any actions or any results, you wouldn't want to follow those plans. God's plan is the right way, and he's shown it to us. And all we have to do now is walk in them. And if we do that, That salvation that he's going to provide is going to be the greatest thing that we're going to ever do in his plan. And he's also has a plan, and it's for one thing. It's to conform us. So I'm just going to simplify it. His purpose. So it's to conform us to his purpose, to glorify us, to make us like him. That's what his plan does. It makes each and every one of us like God. In a spiritual sense, we understand who he is and we know who he is. Turn with me to Romans 8:28. It says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. So you see, his plan calls us to his purpose. And we're going to read another verse here in a minute in Romans that talks about how it glorifies us. But see, the message here is that his plan conforms us to the same image of his Son. So you and I can be just like Christ, which is what we bear. We bear the name like Christ. His plan allows for that. It allows for us to ultimately be justified. And when you look at 28, it says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. No matter what you're going through, no matter what's happening in your life, whatever path you're on, if it's not God's path, there's no benefit in that path. But if you're on the path of God, there's something good that's going to come out of it. Now, it may not be physically good, but spiritually good. And spiritually, you should be able to feel it. You should be able to walk it and enjoy the things that are happening, whether it's painful or not. Because God's plan allows for us to be able to see that. Because what we're seeing through the physical and we're seeing the spiritual. We're seeing things that no mere man can see because we have a belief in something that's actually real, but yet you can't actually touch it except inside. And when you feel it inside, that's when you know you're walking God's plan. If you turn over with me to Romans 12, starting in verse 1. Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. By following this plan, we are no longer conformed to the world. We are instead conformed to God. But what's great about this, it says that when we do this, we prove what the will of God is. We prove what God's plan is. And it's not even just that we prove it to ourselves, but we can prove it to those who are around us when we walk this plan. We have three more, and then the lesson's yours. God's plan... Boy, my squares are getting worse. It's never changing. Never changing. God's plan is never changing. So God has a plan for us not to perish, shows us the way, wants us to walk in them. It's for his purpose to glorify us, to conform to him, and it's never changing. God's plan has never changed. It never will change. We've been talking in Ezekiel about God's plan. And Jeff taught last week about wisdom and how wisdom connects really God's plan, because that's where true wisdom lies. Turn with me to Psalms 33. Psalms 33. Psalms 33. Look at verse 10. It says, the Lord nullifies the counsel of the nations. He frustrates the plans of the people. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart from generation to generation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. Your plan in this case, God ignores it. It's not his plan. Your plan has no value. It's his plan, and his plan has stood forever. It stood the test of time. It was generated from the beginning, and it's going to continue forever and ever. You cannot add or take away from his plan. And I want to connect this with the next one, in which your plan is not God's plan. What I want to be right is not right. And so he has a plan for us. He wants us not to perish. He shows us the way. He wants us to walk in them. It's for his purpose to glorify us. It's never changing. And your plan does not equal God's plan. God's plan is the only plan. You cannot add and you cannot take away from his plan in this life. It's impossible. Here in Psalm 33, we have a verse that tells us that God nullifies the people's plans. And he says he frustrates the people. It's because I want it my way, but it doesn't work that way. Turn with me to Proverbs 3 when we're talking about wisdom. Well, you can't get any more wiser than the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 3, starting in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And then turn over to Proverbs 16. Verse 9. It says, the mind of a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. So you see, our plan leads us astray. It leads us the wrong direction. And, you know, we just, in Proverbs 3, 5, it says, God makes your plan straight. When you interject God's plan into what you feel is right, it becomes God's plan. Because you're changing your mindset and saying, this is not right. God has told me what's right. Let me change my thinking. Let me change my actions. Let me change the way I thought God wants me to go. And let me compare it to what his plan is. And when you do that, your plan then becomes a straight path. Just like this. Straight path. One way only. There's no other way to go. There's no other way for us to follow in God's plan except using his. When I think about, you know, think about Uzzah, right? Here he is doing what he thought was right when he touched the ark. He touches the ark and it perishes. The problem is they were carrying the ark according to their plan. That was the issue. Had they just carried it in the way God had written down and instructed, Uzzah would have never had to touch the ark. But they chose to interject what they thought would be the easiest and best way to carry this ark. And it was wrong. And it killed Uzzah for it. And you think God's going to have best of intentions, right? He had the best of intentions touching this thing. God's plan said you are not to touch the ark. God's plan said you are to follow in this direction and carrying it. Ark of the Covenant. And they chose against it. Same thing with us. God has a plan to keep us straight and on the narrow path. I can't come up with what that is. I cannot decide what that is. And the only thing my plan is going to do is get me lost. Because there's a lot of things I want to interject to God's word. That if I do, it's going to lead me to the middle of nowhere. And just like you and I, just like me, it'll do the same thing for you. And then finally, God's plan ultimately allows for us to overcome. So God has a plan for us not to perish. Shows us the way. He wants us to walk in them. According to his purpose, glorify us. Never changing. Your plan is not God's plan. And ultimately, His plan, though, allows for us to overcome this life, overcome sin, overcome any temptation, overcome anything that could bring you down. His plan keeps you upright. Turn over with me to 1 John 5. It says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And ultimately, it's our faith in the belief that God's way is the only way. God's plan is the only plan. And God's plan for you and I is to overcome that world. And just like this road here, it's a one-way street. You cannot interject. You cannot go off pair. You cannot veer off and think that I'm going to veer off this way and then throw that path back over here. No, there's only one way. You're not going to go off this way and end up at the same place, the destination that God wants you to do. It doesn't work that way. And so a lot of times what we do in this life is that we want to just, not only do we want to just go down this one-way street, but we want to go backwards. We want to just go back to the way we were and just stay there. Not really focus on getting here until maybe later in life. And then we just, you know, we're numb to everything that's around us. We just go with the status quo. But the key for us to walk this life, it's the same thing when it goes to the workout plan. If you stop, your body doesn't change. It's when you continue. It's the consistency in everything that you do with it. The same thing here. It's consistency in God's plan. It's consistently living it, studying it, showing it. If you don't do that consistently, you're never going to get to the end of God's plan because you're running your plan. You don't know it. There's no way to know it. And so I want to end with Revelation 22:7. Because there's something that's great about God's message for us, in that we need to hit home and understand that there's something about His plan that we need to focus on. Revelation 22. And just look at verse 7, because this to me is a warning for each and every one of us. And behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. And he's talking about the book of Revelation and really everything that took place. And really, when you look at the book of Revelation and what took place, is that you're going to die for me, or you're going to die for the hands of those in the world, or with those in the world. You can't choose either side. And, you know, we can break it down to the whole context of those in the first century. But it's the same message for us today. Either we're going to die with the world, or we're going to die because of God's cause. Each and every one of us should be ready and willing to die in God's plan. Because it lasts forever, and it doesn't go anywhere. And if we go back right here and we finish on with this, it's He has a plan for us not to perish. He shows us the way. We're to walk in Him according to His purpose. Glorify us. It's never changing. You can't add or take away from God's plan. It's not your plan. It's His plan. And then we'll overcome. And the warning is, the warning is that you got to heed these words. But on top of that, I love the way Jesus puts it, I am coming quickly. Well, quickly, and doesn't seem, when you look at 10,000 years, quickly doesn't look. Quickly, 10,000 years, who knows when He's going to come back. But when you compare that to an eternity, 10,000 years is like this. Can't even see it. So God is going to come quickly. And when it's time for Him to come back, you and I, we're not living 10,000 years. At most, anyone, and I'm just going to round up to the nearest three digits. 100 years, you're a small, tiny, 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 tiny percentage of 10,000 years. And let me tell you something, that 100 years, and a lot of you can feel a lot more than me, happens a lot quicker when you're there. And you're there and you're like, how did we get here? Because God is coming quickly. Now, He may not come back at the time of your death, but He's going to come back at some point. And He's going to bring you home at some point. So every one of us, when it's time to go home, you better be walking one plan. And that's God's plan. If there's anything that we can do to put you back on God's plan, now is the time. Don't hesitate. Don't wait. As we stand together and sing 353.
Sir.